This morning, we're celebrating a very special church season. You can see that by my stole. That's what we call this, a stole. It's red, and it's not just pretty. It tells us something special is happening. It's the Reformation. Can you say that word with me? Reformation. One more time. Let's ask them to help. Reformation. On Reformation Day, over 500 years ago, God used a man named Martin Luther to be able to nail 95 theses or reasons that God's forgiveness is not for sale, that Jesus has earned heaven for us, and that's free. That's free. That's great news. But we just sang a Reformation hymn just a few moments ago, didn't we? Do you remember the name of the hymn we just sang? What was it called? I bet they all don't remember it either. Sometimes, does that happen? We sing a hymn and we don't even remember it? It's, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. And that's a great prayer to pray every day. Lord, keep me steadfast. Steadfast means to, that's from an old English word, to mean standing in place. Help me stay in place. Help use your word to keep me standing where I need to be. Close to you, dear Jesus, right? That's a good thing. Well, to help you understand what that means, I need a volunteer this morning. And I'm going to get a big kid. His name is Pastor Sharp. He's going to help me. Okay? So Pastor Sharp, he's a pretty strong guy. He's a pretty flexible guy. But we're going to see if he can stand on one foot. Let's see. Okay? Can Pastor Sharp stand on one foot? I know it's a little hard to see, but he can. And he's hoping I go a little faster, too. Okay, well, he's not falling, right? Because he'd have to put his foot down so that he wouldn't fall down. But he's doing a good job. But now, what would happen if something came and hit him? This is not just a stuffed animal. Can you read what the stuffed animal's name is? Do you know what that says? Trouble. What happens if trouble hits him? Do you think he'll fall? Let's find out. This is just a little stuffed animal, right? Oh my goodness. Just a little trouble comes and he can't stand up on his own, right? Well, let's find out if I give him something to hold on to. Do you think he'll stay steadfast or in one place? Let's find out. He's on one foot again. And now I'm going to hit him with a little stuffed animal and he doesn't move. Why? Because he's holding on to something. He's steadfast. Nice job, Pastor Sharp. Well, what I'm just trying to show you this morning, how important it is to be able to hold on to something when trouble comes. Because we don't have stuffed animals that chase us. Instead, we have trouble, don't we? Sometimes it's little trouble. Sometimes it's big trouble. Sometimes we have friends who don't stay our friends, and that can hurt. Or we might have sickness that might come, or maybe even we heard somebody died, and that's hard, and that can make us not stand firm or hold on to the fact that God loves us, that Jesus has died on the cross to save us from our sins, and when trouble comes, we totally forget about that. But that's why we need to pray, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Lord, let your word decide how we're going to go. And that's why it's so important for you and me to be here today. Let's pray and ask Jesus to help us stay steadfast in our faith. Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us your word. Now help us hold fast, not to chairs to hold us up, but to your word and your promises where you tell us you love us. When trouble comes, help us hold on to you so that we might stand in place, stand firm. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please remain seated. The text is a little longer today. Reformation is an important day in our not only our history, but in our life as Christians. We're thankful that God gave us a man named Martin Luther who helped us return to the truth of the Bible so that we'd remain steadfast in God's word. Today's sermon, Reformation sermon, is recorded for us in the Old Testament book of Daniel, reading from chapter 6. This is the familiar account of Daniel in the lion's den. This is what happened. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or any human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. This is the word of the Lord. Dear Christian friends, declared innocent by the work of God the Father, all because of the work of God's Son Jesus. Amen. It was a simple plan. This outsider, this Jew, had been placed in authority over too many people. The man we call Daniel, he was getting in too good with King Darius. Now let me pause there for a moment. I pronounce his name King Darius. You may have learned in Sunday school, King Darius. The Hebrew allows for either pronunciation is acceptable. But for the rest of this sermon, I'll call him King Darius. Let's continue. Word was on the street that Daniel was about to be promoted to be in the highest position of the land, King Darius's right-hand man. Oh, sure. Daniel was trustworthy. Oh, sure, Daniel did his job right. And that was part of the problem. He was too trustworthy. He was making the rest of those junior government officials look bad. And what made things worse is that Daniel was just a Hebrew, just a Jew, just one of the exiles, a slave. About the year 600 BC. You know the history of Old Testament Israel, right? You know how many times the children of Israel had wrong priorities, how they bowed down to false idols. And God had sent so many prophets to warn them to turn away, but they didn't. And as a result, God allowed them to be conquered. And what I mean conquered, what they would do is not only come in and take over in the country, they would literally kill and carry off whatever they wanted. They carried off many of the strong men. Most of them were never heard from again. However, a handful of Israelite young men were chosen based on their appearance and their ability to be brought up in the language, literature, and culture of first the Babylonians and later on the Persians. Scripture tells us Daniel was one of these young men. But now many of the government satraps and governors felt that Daniel was gaining too much power, and very simply, they were jealous. They didn't just want to take Daniel down a peg or two, they wanted to take him out. So they hatched a plan, a simple plan. Oh, they knew who Daniel was, and they knew his strengths. They knew his tendencies. They knew that he was very loyal to King Darius and everything he did. But they also knew that Daniel was more loyal in his service to God. And so they came up with a plan to make Daniel choose between the two. And they knew how this plan would work out. As we read this text and remember Daniel in the lion's den, we just have to ask ourselves, and we thought we had work problems? Right before our sermon reading, these satraps and governors secretly came to the king and said with false flattery, right in our reading, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, should be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. No doubt in their minds, Daniel would soon be dead in the lion's den. Can you imagine? Why, sure you can. I mean, you are all faithful people, faithful Christians, right? You do your job as a Christian parent, grandparent, kid, coworker, and friend. You're faithful. Why? You're even here on Reformation Day, listening to a Lutheran sermon. Well, you know that's part of the problem. They don't like it one bit. You're too faithful, and you're really making them look bad. And it only makes them look worse that you and I are mere mortals and not like them. Evil demons, evil angels with unspeakable power. So where did they come from? Well, Scripture doesn't tell us all of the details, but the Bible does tell us that sometime between day 6 of creation and Genesis chapter 3, where that evil angel Satan is talking with Adam and Eve, there was a war in heaven. The evil angels led by Satan fought against God and his good and angels, and that was a bad plan. You know how that turned out. God and the good angels defeated Satan and the bad angels, and they were cast into hell, where they will be judged for all eternity in hell. Now, these same demons that I'm talking about must have lost their minds when they saw how God interacted with Adam and Eve. Now, follow me here. Adam and Eve committed the very same sin. They didn't trust in God. They rebelled against God. And what did God do? Well, he cast them out of their home in the Garden of Eden. But then immediately, on the spot, the Bible says he promised them forgiveness and salvation in a new home in heaven. Why them? Why grace and mercy for the humans and death and destruction for the demons? So these demons hatched a plan. It's a simple plan, really. It's been carried out against every human being since the beginning of time. But of course, their plan is a little different from the Persian satraps and governors. And because our enemy is far more intelligent, well, it's a far more dangerous plan. They don't just use the threat of being thrown into the lion's den if you're disloyal to God. They threaten you where it really hurts. They threaten our minds, our emotions, our families. And it works a little bit like this. They know that if we don't send our children to that hockey team, that basketball team, that drama club, they just might not make it to the next level. And they innocently schedule practices, you know, on Wednesday night when there's public school catechism class, or Wednesday school, or when there's another spiritual growth opportunity like a Bible class. And of course, all the tournaments and performances are on the weekend or maybe even out of town when we can't come to worship here at St. Paul's regularly. Or think about how else Satan works. It's been a long week at work. You just want to go home and collapse until you have to start it all again the next day. You know, it's good to work hard. You're working overtime because you just want to take care of the family that God gave you, right? And you want to spend time with your kids, and you sure don't get enough time with them. Why take them to a sanctuary week after week where they hear about old Roman history, dusty history, that don't really seem to apply to anyone today? Ever hear anything like that before? Week after week, Pastor O, you and the other ministers tell us that Jesus loves us. And you know, that's great to know. But I sure can't write that fact on a mortgage or rent payment. I mean, it's good to know that sinners who repent go to heaven, but that message doesn't seem to change immediately my kids' disrespect for me or my broken marriage. That message doesn't take my mom's cancer away or bring my dad back from the dead. As I'm speaking, can you just feel the lions circling? Do you feel convicted, like I do, for picking wrong priorities way too many times? Let's face it, King Darius didn't want Daniel to suffer. And those coaches and those bosses I was talking about, I don't think any of them want to see our kids go to hell. But like those Persian satraps and also those governors, Satan and his henchmen will use anyone and any situation to keep us so busy that we just don't have time for God's word. These lions are hungry. They want us to be sent to a pit where they can feast on us forever. They want their evil plan to succeed, and it does for far too many. Those Persian satraps and governors, oh, they assume that their plan would work. Can't you just see them gleefully putting their hands together as Daniel is arrested, thrown into the lion's den, and now Mother Nature and the circle of life will just do the rest? They did not count on a different plan, a bigger plan, God's ultimate plan to save Daniel, to save you and me. Scripture tells us just a tiny part of God's plan with these words. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever." What amazing respect. "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight." God loved Daniel. And so, this time, God saved Daniel from the lions. My brothers and sisters, God loves you. And so, God made a plan to save you, not just from the lions, but to save us from the punishment of our sins. And God's plan was really simple. When Adam and Eve couldn't follow God's law perfectly or protect themselves from the devil, none of us could. God didn't just send an angel. He sent his own son on a rescue mission to make right everything that was wrong. God sent his son to take the bite out of the devil and his demons. He took away their power by making us innocent in God's eyes. And how did God do that? Well, he sent Jesus to be perfect for every time we weren't. He sent Jesus to suffer, to die, the punishment that we deserved, not just at the mouths of the lions, but literally to save us from hell. And Jesus rose again to prove it was true. Only because Jesus did his mission and did it right is this Reformation verse true. We sang it at the first part of the service. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. Martin Luther's Reformation hymn nails down exactly what Jesus has done for us. No matter how many times Satan and his henchmen attack us, one little word, one little phrase defeats the power of Satan. Jesus loves sinners. Jesus loves me. No doubt their temptations are strong. You and I are constantly in the crosshairs of the devil, stopping us from coming to hear God's word, stopping us from believing God's word, stop us from sharing that word. But remember how the Reformation hymn ends? Listen to this. Do what they will, hate, steal, hurt, or kill, though all may be gone, our victory is won, the kingdom's ours forever. God's simple plan has worked. And what's even more amazing is how God shares that simple plan with us today. God simply attaches his gospel promises to his word, to the waters of holy baptism that Cooper got to enjoy today. He gives us and attaches it to wheat and wine of Holy Communion. And each time that gospel is shared, literally, God is raising us from the pit to enjoy a life of purpose right now and a guaranteed eternal home in heaven ahead, just waiting for every Christian believer. This Reformation Sunday, thank God for giving us Martin Luther, who reminded us to be steadfast in God's word. Thank God that he took care of a guy like Daniel, and he takes care of us every single day. Thank God we get to come to a place that's shared every week, these Reformation truths, by grace alone, by faith alone, by Scripture alone. Let nothing stop you or your children from hearing these simple truths. God's simple plan for us. Amen. For our stewardship thought today, we think about how God uses our testimony, and what we say to other people does matter, even though it may not seem like it at the time. Here at St. Paul's, our board of elders are continually reaching out to welcome people we haven't seen for a while to come and worship God with us. Well, one particular family we haven't seen for a long time. We contacted the pastor that was close to them. They had moved out of their area. And this past week, we got an email back, and the pastor explained what had happened. This person, our member family, started going to their church, and he explained why. One of their neighbors just happened to go to that church, and all it took was a simple invitation. Come and join me this week. My friends, may God bless your invitations to your neighbors, people you may not even realize need to be welcomed back. We pray. Hear us, Lord, as we pray for a neighbor and others who do not believe in you. Make us the answer to our prayers for others. Move us to share the gospel for those for whom we just prayed. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.